Want to take your company swag to another level? Stop slapping your logo on t-shirts that start to fall apart after 3 washes. Start outfitting your teams with custom ink. Add your logo to the best gear from your favorite brands like Carhartt, Under Armour, Adidas, and more. Create custom water bottles, backpacks, jackets, and so much more. Make Custom Ink your go-to custom gear partner to score great customer service, high-quality products, and all-in pricing. Plus, you'll get personalized help when you need it and an easy-to-use website when you don't. It's all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to CustomInk.com to get started today.
Hey folks, Brian here before the show starts. Chris and I had recorded this on Thursday morning. It's the only time in our schedule we could get it out. And we were pretty optimistic about Max Scherzer's injury status. We were wrong. Before we get any emails, we were wrong. That's all. Enjoy the show. Hi, Mets fans. Welcome back to Amazing Avenue Audio, the show. We are the first podcast with the name The Show, despite what John Heyman thinks. There's a new John Heyman podcast called The Show. That's all. Chris and I are mad about it, even though we probably have no right to be mad about it, as our name is ripping off a Wilco album, but it's still worthy of my ire and rage. So anyway, I am Brian. With me, as always, is Chris, and we are here to talk about the New York Mets, obviously. So the Mets have already split the series with the Cardinals. It is still in progress. They have a chance to win the series today. That means the New York Mets... Wait, Chris, hang on. What's their record right now?
20-fucking-5 and 4-fucking-teen.
This is going back to a text we were sending last night. But yeah, they're 25-14. They're 11 games over 500. The only team in the NL East with a winning record. They are 6 games up on the nearest competition, but that's a silly number because the Mets are 11 games over 500 and the Phillies are 1 game under 500, or at least they were last time I checked. So generally, Chris, this team has not put together a long winning streak, which some people are mad about, but they also haven't put together a losing streak of any sort. So to me, I mean, would a winning streak be nice? Yes. Are those fun? Absolutely. But if the Mets keep winning more or less 2 out of every 3 games they play, is there any reason to not be happy about the way the New York Mets are playing right now?
No, absolutely not. You look at what they're doing. They have the second best run differential in the National League. The Dodgers is better. Okay, so what?
The Dodgers are a great team. Right. So it is totally cool to be, in the same league as the Dodgers.
Yeah, and you look at it, it's the Dodgers and the Yankees 1-2 in run differential, and then the Mets are right there in the pack of other teams that are, you know, playing good baseball and contending and at plus 43. I don't know, that's just not cause for concern. And obviously on an individual game basis, I'm not rooting against them. But if you sprinkle the losses throughout the season like that, and if you're playing baseball where it feels like they legitimately have a chance or an expectation of winning every day, I don't know. That's just as fun to me. The long winning streak obviously helps you build a cushion, but there's always a crash after that. Yes. And if they want to win their next 10 to 20 games, go ahead. There will be no complaints about it, but as of last night, well, what is it now? Hold on. But right now, they're on pace for 104 wins, almost 103.8. Obviously, we know it's early. Obviously, we know that could change. A bad week could undo that sort of a thing, but this is not an insignificant number of games. They've played 39 games of baseball at a 104 win clip. I don't care about the order that they got the wins in.
Right. In relation to that, the Mets lost their first series of the season this weekend against the Mariners, who are not the greatest of baseball teams. And so you would rather see the Mets take 2 of 3 or sweep that series. But, you know, they were close games. It wasn't exactly blowouts. And, look, even the greatest teams of all time lose a couple of games to bad teams. It happens every month, not even every season. Every month, your team is going to lose a game they should have won against a team they should have beaten. It happens. Is it annoying because it's the Mariners? Sure, but I don't really care about the Mariners. I have no hatred towards the Mariners. In fact, when I was a kid, because of my love of Ken Griffey Jr., they were my AL team for many, many years. So, you know, do I wish the Mets won that series? Absolutely. Does it mean anything in the long run? No. The Mets are the last team in baseball to have not lost a series until that point. And so the Mets are doing fine. And I understand that the Mets don't look like a dominant team in some ways. I mean, look, they're winning more. They're winning two-thirds of the games they're playing, so that is great. But, you know, they're doing it without DeGrom. You know, we're going to talk in a minute about how they might have to do it without Scherzer for a couple of games, but we'll see about that. They're doing it. You know, Brandon Nimmo is having a really, really good season. Francisco Lindor is, you know, not having the greatest season. He's doing okay. Pete Alonso's having a good season. He's not having, you know, a superstar, amazing end of, you know, end of story MVP type season. The Mets they're doing it with a team effort. Players are stepping up. Role players are doing their jobs for the most part. This seems like a reasonably sustainable team. I've been saying this since the beginning. When a bat or two gets like on fire hot, or DeGrom comes back, this team has the potential to then put together those big winning streaks. And I would rather a winning streak in July or August when the standings are likely getting a little bit tighter and where the games, I mean, look, every game matters 1/162nd of the way. I get that. But, you know, a winning streak in August or September would put the nail in the coffin for other teams a lot easier and a lot more effectively than a winning streak in April or May would be. So I say all that to say I am not at all worried about the New York Mets overall.
Totally. I just want to point out on the offensive side of things, we know that offense is continuing to trend downward across the league. But you look at the stats that these guys have, and yeah, there's not a Mike Trout level performance going on, but five guys are well above league average hitters so far. Nimmo, Alonso, Canna, McNeil, and Guillorme, believe it or not.
Love to see Guillorme doing well.
Yeah, and then Lindor and Marte are above league average with what they've done. I mean, Lindor, for the slight, decrease in OPS, for lack of a better way of putting it, there's still six home runs in there. There's still four stolen bases. And we know he started the season pretty hot, so not too concerned. Buck Showalter didn't seem too concerned with couple weeks long slump that's happened. But those guys are there. Escobar is straight at league average. And then, you know, JD Davis is slightly below, and I think with a little more playing time, we could see him hit better. I mean, the only regular right now who's truly been a bad hitter is Tomas Nito.
Yeah,
and McCann too, but he's injured at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that Dominic Smith is not a regular, but he's having a pretty atrocious season.
Yeah, he's it's crazy that 203, 291, 261 gets you a 72 weighted runs created plus, but
yes,
but it's not a pleasant experience. There's not a home run in there yet. That one Sunday night game, he carried the night, really.
Yes,
but that was it. And I'm not one to say remove that game from the equation and then look at the stats, but before and after that game, he's just hasn't looked anywhere near productive at the plate. And, it sucks. He's an easy guy to root for.
Absolutely. As our friends on A Pot of Their Own said this week, it seems like if the Mets had somebody that they felt confident could come up and spell him for a couple of weeks, let him go down to the minors and work some stuff out, they would do that. But I don't know who the Mets would call up to take that roster spot. I really don't. I have no idea who the Mets think they have in the minors that could produce like that. Do you have, I mean, Nick Plummer maybe?
Right. Yeah. That'd be one possibility. And ideally you'd want it to be a left-handed hitter, I guess. Although it's not like the Mets are really lacking them overall. If they got to a point that they felt like they wanted to option Dom to try to get him straightened out a little bit. Plummer, as you suggested, is a left-handed hitter. I forgot. So that could be a match. Sitting fairly well in Syracuse, you know, that would be fine. It's not a lefty, but Vientos is a guy who seems like he could get some major league at bats in that kind of a situation. Although I believe, is he not on the 40? He might not be.
He may not be on the 40. I'm not positive about that.
Yeah, I don't think he is. And hasn't been hitting as well in Syracuse as Plummer, but it's the type of guy who you could see getting his first sort of major league experience.
Right.
In that context.
Right. I mean, the Mets farm is just relatively thin right now, and there's nobody that's like banging at the door to get called up. And I understand why the Mets are keeping Don Smith at the major league level right now, but it's getting to a point where it does seem like, all right, we really have to figure out what's going on here, because this is becoming a very concerning situation.
Yeah. Oh, Vientos is on the 40. Okay. That makes more sense.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah. It's not going to be Khalil Lee. He was having such a hard time, they sent him down to St. Lucie to...
Yes.
Sort of.
You want to know how bad of a season you're having? You go from AAA to single A.
Yeah, and low A at that now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just crazy how far Khalil Lee's star has fallen once he came into the organization, which, you know, and again, he's young. There is no question that he still can turn it around. It's just a very, very strange thing that he has just fallen this low in the team's eyes.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about a less than happy bit of news, which is that Max Scherzer left his start last night with left side pain. A couple of good things about this. It's not an arm issue, nor is it his throwing side. You know, he's a right-handed pitcher, and therefore his right side would be where you'd think something like an oblique strain would be most likely. It could be an oblique strain. It could be that he ate weird pasta the night before. I don't know. He's a man of about my age. Sometimes your body just hurts for reasons you don't understand anymore. So we don't know exactly what's going on. We should have news today about that. So if you're listening to this and it's incredibly outdated already, we are sorry. We are recording this Thursday morning, so the news has not come out yet as to exactly what he is diagnosed with. But I think we can say with sort of 100% certainty, whatever this is, it's better than an arm injury. This is where we are now, Chris. We're saying that things are just better or worse than an arm injury.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd agree with that. It also seems like he is fairly well in tune with his body. And when he spoke about it after the game, he didn't seem too concerned that it was going to be a major situation. And that should be good. I think if anything, he earned a little benefit of the doubt with the slight hamstring tightness that was a factor early in the season that he assured everybody would not be a problem. And
it wasn't. Yeah.
So we've known Max Scherzer as the guy that we didn't want the Mets to face for years and years and years, but we haven't known him as a guy who's on the team that we root for. And I think those are two very different experiences, but he's done this long enough. And the way he explained that, basically it got to a point that he didn't want to risk a serious injury. So, all right, time to come out of the game. So that I know, I know it kind of happened all of a sudden, but, you know, but it's not one of those moments where the pitcher all of a sudden is holding his arm in like severe pain and has to come out or something like that. So I get that the fact that it's surprising maybe catches people off guard a little bit more, but as with any, well, this applies to more than just the Mets and more than just injuries, but waiting for the actual news is probably a good idea here.
Yes.
And let's hope there's no significant injury on the MRI and he's just 37 and maybe needs to, you know, rest it a little and work on it a little, even as a professional athlete.
Yeah.
As a non-professional athlete of a similar age, you know, sometimes things just hurt.
Yes.
The Lead is a sports podcast from Wondery that brings you the most important, interesting, and current stories from the world of sports. It sometimes seems like there's an overwhelming amount of sports news. There's both college and the pros, from football to basketball and more. Hosts Anders Kalto and Tiffany Oshinsky cut through the noise to tell you the most important stories you need to hear. When a team wins a championship, The Lead has a story from the locker room. When a key trade goes down, The Lead delivers the behind-the-scenes details. How could WNBA star Brittany Griner get out of Russia? Who were the two surprise winners of the NFL draft? How did Boston Celtics coach Ime Udoka become the Can Man? The Lead covers the sports stories big and small and everything important in between. Make listening to The Lead a part of your daily routine and you'll be in the know when it comes to the key moments in sports and culture. Listen to The Lead on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Eating is fun, but why does cooking have to be a hassle? Prepare tasty, healthy, and easy meals on autopilot with Sunbasket. Sunbasket delivers the joy of eating with bold flavors, organic produce, and sustainable seafood and meats. Their award-winning chefs are constantly inventing new recipes, so there's dozens of exciting options to choose from each week. Keep it interesting while winning over picky eaters for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Whatever your dietary needs, Sunbasket makes it simple to eat vegetarian, paleo, and gluten-free. Right now, you can prepare fresh and delicious meals for yourself like lettuce-wrapped turkey sliders with Asian slaw. Set up weekly delivery if you want to keep your meal planning to a minimum, and skip a week whenever you need to. It's delicious and super easy. Right now, Sunbasket is offering $90 off and a free gift when you order. Go to sunbasket.com/Vox and enter promo code Vox at checkout. That's sunbasket.com/Vox and enter promo code Vox.
If it is going to be a couple of starts, the Mets are at a slighter disadvantage, or greater disadvantage than they were a week ago because Tyler McGill is currently on the IL as well with bicep inflammation. The MRI came back clean, which is a good thing. They don't think McGill would necessarily miss too much time. However, that means that the Mets are down another starting pitcher. So right now, if we presume the Scherzer is going to stay in the rotation and not miss too much time, the rotation is down to Scherzer, Carrasco, Bassett, Walker, and I'm going to guess David Peterson is going to take the spot that's open that Trevor Williams took this past weekend, because I believe Peterson pitched the day before or 2 days before for Syracuse. Right. So I presume it's going to be Peterson. If it is, if Scherzer is going to miss a start or two, then things get a little bit dicier with the rotation. Even though Trevor Williams did a very admirable job against the Mariners, I would rather him not be penciled in for more than a start or two. Do you have any sort of opinion on who the next starter up should be if it's not Trevor Williams?
Oh man. I don't know. I think it kind of has to be him. I agree it's not ideal, but I'm not seeing somebody who would be a clearly better option to bump up from the minors. Yeah. Anybody that you think?
No, not like a person. Not a single person. I was hoping that you had some sort of brilliant idea that I would say, oh, wow, Chris really thought this through.
I mean, the one guy that they've kind of hyped up a little bit coming into the season, who's fared very well in his time in Binghamton. He's still only 24. Yep, 24 as of March. Jose Buto. I am not saying that that is the ideal way to take a guy who, I don't know, yeah, didn't start his minor league career as an exciting prospect, but has pitched solid baseball in Binghamton now over the course of 15 starts between last year and this year. I don't know. It'd be a weird spot for it. Josh Walker had similarly been a solid starting pitcher in Binghamton last year. Not faring quite as well against AAA competition so far for Syracuse this year. Just a couple of names. Buto is on the 40. Josh Walker is not. But yeah, I think if Scherzer needs to miss a start or two or more, I think we're looking at the Bassett, Carrasco, Walker, Peterson, Trevor Williams rotation for a bit. Williams definitely gave him a very good, what was it, four innings?
It was four, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he did. I kind of like him in the 2 to 3 to maybe 4 inning role for whatever reason. It just seems like maybe he could settle into that. And hey, there's some luxury to be found in being in the position the Mets are in. The baseball season's long. The division is not over, but it's not just that they have a good record. It's that they're playing well against their division opponents. And in turn, helping all of them have bad records.
Yes. And they haven't even played the Marlins yet.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and the Marlins did that brief little thing. I mean, they're only 3 games under 500 now, but they were the only team other than the Mets with a winning record in the division for a bit. And then they just returned to being the Marlins. I don't know. Every spring, they seem to do something that makes people think they're going to be good. And then
The reality sets in.
Surprise. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, right now, every other team in the division is under 500. And aside from the Marlins, 3 of them can thank the Mets for helping to contribute to that. So if you had to go into a stretch where you briefly did not have Scherzer or DeGrom, if you had to pick a way to do it, being 6 games up on the next best team in the division and 11 games over 500 on your own, that's about as good a position as you could try to weather that storm from.
Yes, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. I will also say that I think we all wish the Mets could have added another couple of depth pieces this offseason, but the Mets rotation was pretty stacked to begin with. You know, you figure if DeGrom and Scherzer are back, that means McGill likely doesn't have a place in the rotation. And McGill's been very good this season. So the Mets did have more depth than the Wilpon Mets would have had probably in this position. You know, the fact that they were able to weather DeGrom being hurt and still have a very good record, the fact that they were able to then dip into the minors to get Peterson, like, you know, there is more depth here than the Wilpon Mets would have had. Is it enough depth? No. Is there ever enough depth? No. But on the bright side, like you said, you know, McGill's injury does not appear to be very serious. It does not appear that this Scherzer injury is very serious. So if they had to do the Trevor Williams thing for 2 starts, that wouldn't be the end of the world. And by the time those 2 starts happened, either Scherzer or McGill would likely be back in the rotation. And we're looking probably at another, I'm going to be conservative and say minimum 4 weeks, probably closer to 6 or 8 weeks before the return of Jacob DeGrom. We did get some good news this week, which is that good news that the Mets fans have managed to make into bad news, which is that he is progressing essentially at the pace that he was expected to heal at, that there's been no setbacks, that they are ramping up his throwing program. And I think some fans were hoping that the outcome would be something like, you know, he woke up and he's miraculously healed. All hail St. DeGrom. Let's get him out there tomorrow. That was never going to happen. The Mets are going to be very cautious about their best player, as they absolutely should be, especially when the team is winning like this. I mean, if the team was, you know, had won three games so far this season, they still should not rush back DeGrom. There is no reason to rush back a player of his quality. But you can say, especially when the team has been surviving quite well without him. So, you know, I'm thinking, if we all think that DeGrom will be back right around the All-Star break, that's probably a pretty conservative estimate. Does that feel about right to you?
Yeah, I think so. And I think when we first heard the update on his status and sort of there hasn't been really a hard timeline, but a vague idea of what it sounded like. It seemed like it could be about a calendar year between DeGrom starts from last year's All-Star break to this. And hey, if that's what happens and he's fully healthy and fresh, there are definitely worse things to have than a half season of dominant DeGrom.
Get ready for all of the, this is the best move they could have made at the All-Star break conversation, though.
Oh, yeah. No, that will happen. But the nice thing is that, I mean, there's always the possibility of upgrading your team in any of the three big areas in baseball. But the obvious need is some bullpen help, I think, via trade. And to their credit, this version of the bullpen has held up better than you would think.
Absolutely. Especially when you get like those crazy weird Jake Reed performances where he can't find the strike zone, but somehow pitches two scoreless innings.
Right. Yeah. Jake Reed and Steven Nogosic both had the experience of helping the Mets win a game or I guess in Nogosic's case, it wasn't a win, but he ate some innings. Right.
Yeah.
And then getting optioned right after, although Nogosic has made it back. But yeah, no, it's obviously influenced by Edwin Diaz's dominance so far this year. But the bullpen's held up better than you would think. And at the same time, I'd still like to see some reinforcements in July or sooner.
Yes.
But you'll still have talks like DeGrom is a trade deadline addition. And I mean, the fact that Buck Showalter made a comment along those lines at least sort of highlighted that it's a baseball cliche and not just a Mets one. I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that. There are things that are uniquely Mets, don't get me wrong, but some of them might be a little more just common baseball nonsense. And hey, Drew Smith and Edwin Diaz have the exact same ERA right now, so good for Drew.
Yeah, both Drew Smith and Chasen Shreve had their first like meltdown appearance since we last recorded. Right. But I'm not worried; those guys will be fine. They're bullpen pitchers. They this is literally what they do all the time.
Yeah. I think from the point the Mets are at right now, the biggest concern, without sounding too cocky or overconfident, is to make sure that those big arms and Scherzer and DeGrom are feeling good and fully healthy for the playoffs, because that is the expectation for this team right now. And that should be the way that they handle both. And I don't think they would do otherwise right now.
Agreed. And hopefully that is their mindset too, is that we have a long season ahead of us. Let's just pace ourselves and, you know, do what we can to make sure that we are staying competitive and staying, you know, in the hunt. And right now, they are staying well above the fray. Will that last the whole season? I'd love it to, but who knows? With this new expanded playoffs, I felt confident the Mets would be playoff contenders because 14 out of 30 teams with the rotation they have seems like a foregone conclusion. But, you know, now I feel like hopefully they don't even have to play in the first round of the playoffs. Or however, I forget how this new stupid system is working, but hopefully they get some sort of advantage for being good the whole season and not just wild carding in at the end. But we'll see. Even if they do that, Mets in the playoffs is a happy thing. So let's keep those positive thoughts and vibes going as we enter the days of, as our pot of their own commenters love to point out, the June swoon that seems to happen every year for the Mets. But Chris, enough of that. It's music time. What is your music pick for this week?
So I didn't realize in my excitement last week that not only were there two records coming out on the same day that could have applied, my comments could have applied to, but in addition to that, they both are by artists who start, whose first names start with the letters K-E. But the one that I had in mind and the one that I'm recommending right now is from Kevin Morby. The album's called This Is a Photograph, and it's got, as the singles of it, so to speak, were rolled out over the last few weeks coming up to the release. Two of my favorite songs of his are on here. The album overall definitely has a range to it in terms of sort of pace and I don't know how sad a song might sound. But yeah, it's really, really good. Those two songs were This Is a Photograph, the name of the album and the song, and Rock Bottom that he had put out beforehand. But he's just got a really great ability at writing, and his voice is just like perfectly matches the what he's going for with the songs. So a record that was very much a product of the last 2 years of real life and the state of the world. And yeah, very much looking forward to getting to hear some of these songs the next time we see him live, which I think right now is the fall. I don't think there's a tour happening too closely in conjunction with the release of the record, but maybe that'll change. Maybe he'll, you know, pop up at a few things between now and then.
I mean, it seems like every touring band right now is getting COVID again. So maybe, yeah, maybe him holding off for a few months isn't the end of the world.
Yeah, no, it's still something that they have to deal with, and either cancel or postpone shows and all that headache. And as we know, except for maybe the very biggest bands, they rely on touring for income. So,
yes,
I get it for sure. But yeah, This Is a Photograph. Icing on the cake, the album cover, it's not the exact same speakers that I have that I love to listen to music on, but they're really similar looking. So that just helps seal the deal for me. But yeah, check it out. I think if you like any of the kind of music that he plays, I think you will like the whole record.
Nice. I have not checked out either of those KE releases from last week yet. I've been very, very busy this week, and my day job involves me listening to audio that I'm editing, so I can't listen to music at work anymore, which is by far the worst part of my new job, that I can't listen to music at work anymore, but that's a whole other story. So I've gone back and forth between a few picks this week because I heard some really good stuff at the end of last month that I haven't talked about yet, but I feel like there was a record that I heard this week that was really interesting, and I kind of want to talk about it. And it has a fun story behind it. So I feel like that's the way to go with this, which is that, so my local record shop is great, Station One Records in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. And they did this mystery bundle of 20 LPs a few weeks ago. And they just listed the genres that were in this mystery bundle. And I was feeling saucy that day, and I decided to take them up on the offer. And so most of the records in this batch, I had never heard of the artist or the album, which is pretty incredible because, you know, I feel like I'm a guy who's pretty well tuned into a lot of this stuff, but most of the stuff in there that I was not aware of, the stuff I was aware of, I actually really like. So I'm excited to dig in. I've only heard about maybe 5 or 6 of the 20 records that were in there. But one I heard was a sort of garage punk band called Proud Parents. And the record is a self-titled debut that came out in 2018 on a small label out of Milwaukee, I believe it was. No, Madison. I'm sorry. I knew it was somewhere in Wisconsin. But it's just, you know, sometimes you hear stuff that you could have sworn you had heard before because it just sounds like it's something totally in your wheelhouse. And that is what Proud Parents were. It's just like melodic, really fun garage rock. I think they have another album out. I don't know much about it, but it's the first record from this batch that as soon as it was over, I flipped it over and played it again. Just, you know, also a really good record for the weather getting warmer, just a bouncy garage power pop type of experience. The album is on Bandcamp. I'm checking right now to see if it is on Spotify. It is on Spotify. So I think it's definitely worth checking out. Specifically, they do something that is a pretty classic move, which is to have a band, an album, and a song all named the same thing. So the first track on the album is called Proud Parents, which I believe Bad Company did that. And there's a couple other bands that Black Sabbath, I believe, as well.
Black Sabbath.
I couldn't remember for a second if Black Sabbath was on the first record or not, but it has to have been, of course. A grand tradition of that happening here, and it's not going to change the world, but it's fantastic, really fun garage rock, and it's great to find a new band out of this like stack of records, some of which are like 70s disco and soul and jazz and post rock, and you get this just really cool band out of there. So yeah, Proud Parents, self-titled debut from 2018, is my pick for this week. And thank you everybody for listening. We appreciate it. This is going up a day late. We apologize for that, but I goofed, so this is going up a day late. But that's okay. You can still go to amazingavenue.com, find game recaps, news, analysis, other great podcasts. More of that stuff that you want, we have it for you. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. This show is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Anywhere you find podcasts, you can find this show, we hope. You can also find Chris on Twitter at Chris McShane. I am on Twitter at Brian Intonap. And until next time, let's go Mets.
Border City is a new podcast from the San Diego Union-Tribune, presented by the Los Angeles Times. I'm Sandra Dibble, a journalist who left my job and family in Washington, D.C. to report on Tijuana, Mexico. I expected to stay a year, but my plans changed as I discovered the many different worlds that converge at the U.S.-Mexico border. Subscribe and listen to Border City at sandiegouniontribune.com/border city, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.